It's 4:06. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up later in the program, we'll learn why small and medium-sized farms are on the decline in Wisconsin and what can be done to help increase interest in farming and keep those farms in business.
First, the National 9/11 Memorial Museum officially opens to the public this week. Located under the Ground Zero site, the museum has been years in the making, though there has been controversy along the way.
From the price of admission to the decision to sell 9/11 related items in the museum's gift shop, many are expressing some concerns that the museum is attempting to profit off of tragedy. But controversies aside for a moment, what exactly is it like to visit the memorial? What can you expect if you go?
We're joined now by Justin Davidson. He's the architecture and classical music critic at New York Magazine, who recently visited the museum and wrote about his experience. Justin, welcome to Central Time.
Hello.
Well, you're pretty upfront about this in the piece. You had some reservations about going to this museum. It was something that was going to be painful. You sort of knew it was going to be a painful journey. But that being said, what was it like when you first stepped in the door?
Well, I had all kinds of reservations. I mean, both from sort of a personal reluctance to revisit that moment, which, you know, was difficult for everybody who was living in New York at that time and much more difficult for many others. But also because I thought that there was something really almost insurmountable about trying to create an interpretive museum about an event that we don't really fully understand or know how to interpret. But I was overwhelmed by just the kind of immediacy of being confronted with the stuff, you know, just these objects ranging from very small things, you know, a business card that fluttered down out of the sky, you know, these enormous hunks of steel that were bent by these incredibly violent forces. And there's just something tremendously moving and disturbing and, you know, emotionally difficult about confronting all these things. And so in that sense, just in terms of giving some reality to people who experienced it from afar. You know, most people at that time in the world had some direct, you know, experience of it, but most of that was mediated by television. So for those people, I think, to come to New York and to come to Ground Zero, to what is now a, you know, rebuilt site, and be confronted with the kind of immediacy of that space, the archaeological site, and those artifacts is very powerful.
It sounds as though it's set up that you begin sort of higher up and you go further and further underground. And this is a big space because the Twin Towers were huge. And so you have to allow for some of the materials there. But can you tell us what that experience is like as you go deeper into the museum itself and a bit more about some of the specifics? What are the things that really struck you and stayed with you?
Right. So you begin the experience really on the Memorial Plaza, which as of this week is now freely open to the public. The fences that encircled the construction site and that have been there for 13 years have now come down. So you can just walk from the adjoining streets directly onto the Memorial Plaza, which is planted with trees, and where there are these two big voids with waterfalls inside them where the footprints of the towers were. So from the plaza, you can look down into the memorial. Near the memorial is a pavilion, which is a building that houses the lobby and the coat check and, you know, all the intermediary things that any museum needs. And when you go in there, you head down a staircase, and the first thing, or an escalator, and the first thing that you are confronted with are two of the tridents. And the tridents are three-pronged, enormous steel columns that formed, you know, the Gothic arches at the base of the Twin Towers. And you get an appreciation for just the size of those structures, but also they're these kind of signposts so that as you go down out of the sunlight into the much darker spaces below ground, you're kind of following into this area that was the foundations of the buildings when they were standing, and then this enormous pit filled with, you know, rubble and you know, victims and debris that had to be cleaned out. And as you go down, when you finally get to the bottom of this ramp that winds its way down, there's a kind of Hades-like feeling. I mean, you're really sort of going down into the earth and literally into the underworld, into the world of the dead. And when you get to the bottom of this ramp, you are at bedrock. And that literally means the rock that holds up most of Manhattan's skyscrapers, the lowest level of the trench that was built for the original World Trade Center's foundations. And at the base of this enormous slurry wall, which is the wall that essentially holds back the Hudson River. And so it really becomes an archaeological site. You really have this feeling of being inside this place where the event took place. And hanging above you are the boxes, the enormous containers that hold the waterfalls that are the memorial voids. So you actually are going down underneath those waterfalls and into, on one side, a memorial exhibition, which contains photographs and information of the nearly 3,000 victims of both that day and the 1993 attacks. And then on the other footprint, the historical exhibition, which narrates what happened in that during that day. And then,
right, and that kind of gets at the people's stories, right? Because on the one hand, you've got these physical objects like the tridents, and yeah, there are fire trucks that have been destroyed, and just sort of the detritus of the tragedy. But then there's stories. How does the museum tell people's stories?
Well, the stories of some of the victims are told in the memorial exhibition, where there's a touch screen, and you can sort of do a search for a name and bring up some audio recorded by family members and snapshots, and you can actually project that on the kind of inner sanctum so that one person at a time is memorialized inside a smaller room. In the historical exhibition, it's full of voices. I mean, and it's like the voices of ghosts. There are alcoves where you're hearing the words of, firefighters who have just climbed 78 stories in a tower that is about to come down, and they've just discovered, you know, the fire having breached the walls and the bodies of the victims everywhere. They're radioing in that information. And, you know, of course, in hindsight, we know what's going to happen next. But there's something just very moving about being, about hearing those voices. And, you know, in some cases, there are voicemail messages that people left for their spouses or their parents saying, you probably heard a plane just hit the other tower, but that's not the tower I'm in. I'm fine. I'm on the 100th floor of the other tower, and, you know, everything's okay, and I'm just going back to work. Mm. And so there's this strange overlay of just normal life in the midst of this insane day. And, you know, of course, there's something very poignant about that, because you know how that normality ends.
And the museum, those who created it, had said they didn't want this to be a recreation of that day. They didn't want it to feel like you were reliving that day, that you were placed in the present looking back. Does it come across that way to you as a visitor? Did you feel like you had to undergo something traumatic again, or did it feel like something that was in the past?
I think it, for some people, it's going to come very close to being traumatic. Trauma is something that's very hard, and how difficult something is, it's very hard to know from person to person how you're going to react. I found it, by and large, I agreed with the decisions, and I found it tasteful, but I also found it incredibly difficult to experience. They don't bring you back. There's no kind of, it's not the 9/11 experience with multiple screens and, swelling string music. It's done very neutrally. I mean, these are the voices that you hear. These are the things that you see. This is the video image, the photographs. And I should say that, they've been pretty judicious about what to include. I mean, there's graphic video on YouTube that is, quite easily available to anybody who goes to look for it, that is not included in the museum. And, I think they've been careful to try to in the context of something that is inherently tough, to be judicious about that.
And Justin, in our last 30 seconds, could you leave us with one object in the museum that touched you?
Yeah, it's this hand rake. It's just an ordinary gardening tool, and in the spring of 2002, when the whole site was just cleared away, there was nothing but dirt and concrete on the bottom of the trench. There was one of the rescue workers who just got down on his hands and knees with a rake just like that and was just still raking through what little dust there was, really, almost symbolically continuing the search. Mm. And that touched me.
Justin, thank you so much for being on and for describing that for us today.
Okay, well, you're welcome.
That was Justin Davidson. He's the architecture and classical music critic at New York Magazine. He joined us to talk about the 9/11 Memorial Museum, which opens to the public tomorrow.